This is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a three-hour package because I don't know when I'm going to stop our special report. But the further I started investigating this, I think it drove Nicole crazy last night because we talked about, 9:30 or 10. And I told you, Nicole, I said, yeah, I think I'm going to go an entire hour with this.
Right.
And the more I was finding out about this unholy alliance between pharmaceutical companies and media, and the last thing you said to me, because like my wife, Nicole is very worried about my sleep, and you said, go to bed. That was the last thing you said to me.
It was, and actually we had talked multiple times throughout the weekend about it as well. You called me, I mean, we knew you weren't going to be there yesterday, mm-hmm. and you had called me maybe Saturday or Sunday to say, oh, I've got it all worked out, and you've sent me multiple emails very excited about this topic, mm-hmm. and then you said last night you got it all set, you sent me a last email, and yep. you were going to go to bed, and I said, great, yeah, go to bed, get sleep so you have enough energy for it tomorrow,
uh-huh.
and
well,
then...
I got energy.
And then I got another email I got a text at 10:30 and then an email at 1, and I just kept texting you, go to bed.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I was up till 4 a.m. working on all of this last night, because the more I found, the more shocking it was. Like the fact that, you know, we're so focused on getting kids vaccinated, many more children have died from the increase in suicide. From 2019 pre-COVID to 2020, many more kids have died by suicide in the last year than have died from COVID-19. And that of the kids who are going to the hospital, and that stat that I gave, and I should do a recap in case people are just tuning in, but 44% of the kids who are going to the hospital aren't there because of actual COVID-19 symptoms, but they are there for mental health reasons. Because we're turning our kids into little basket cases with all of this. And so we've never done this before, but I think we'll just go till 1:30, and then Dave Wyman's going to drop by, and they'll be able to drop this. But if you're just joining us, starting on Friday, we got these special reports from all the major news operations, including our own, in all fairness, saying that there's a new study out saying that kids 12 to 16 who are unvaccinated are going to the hospital in shocking numbers. And I went and dug into the numbers because I thought, well, this is odd that nobody in the media is giving these numbers. And so I did. I dove into the numbers. And because I wondered, why would the dates of the study be March 1st to April 24th? That's a very weird end date for a study. And it turns out that on April 24th, they had a little mini tick up between March 1st and April 24th. Still, you know, far below where it'd been a couple months earlier. But it went from 7 kids out of a million who had COVID had to be hospitalized March 1st. And on April 24th, it was 13 kids out of a million had to be hospitalized. Who had COVID. And it's nothing statistically, pretty much zero. But instead you have all these people in the media who either don't know anything about numbers or they were just willing to play along to help the profits of the pharmaceutical companies by passing along these scare tactics. And then it turns out 44% of the kids going into the hospital are going in with mental anxiety because of what we've done to children in the last year and a half. And I will repeat that I'm not saying this to say anything negative about parents who choose to get their kids vaccinated. If you choose to get your 12 or 13-year-old vaccinated, that's your choice. I just want to make sure you have all of the information and that you're not going off of what is being fed to you by pharmaceutical companies that want to just increase their profit, that just want to increase their bottom line. And, you know, when I hear the head of Moderna, I'm going to replay a couple of sound bites from last hour if you're just joining us. But the head of Moderna, who's saying that, one shot's not going to be enough. You're going to need a second and a third and a fourth.
As we're going into the southern hemisphere right now, they are getting into their fall and their winter. There are so many people. They live in much more density into houses. And a lot of people are immunocompromised, HIV positive. So we think that we're going to see more variants.
You hear that? In the southern hemisphere, also, there are a lot of people who are HIV positive. And he almost, I don't want to read too much into this, and I'm certainly not going to lie or exaggerate it because I don't need to make my point. But he almost seemed to have the faintest glimmer of a smile because he was talking to investors. This was their first quarter earnings call. And he's saying, well, as we move into the southern hemisphere with the virus, and they have close quarters there, and a lot of people in the southern hemisphere are HIV positive, and we're really going to be able to make a lot of money. I mean, he didn't say that last part, but that certainly is the subtext of all of this. And then in the northern hemisphere, the big growth market is going to be 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. Your children.
As we're going into the southern hemisphere right now, they're getting into their fall and their winter. There are so many people. They live in much more density into houses. And a lot of people are immunocompromised, HIV positive. So we think that we're going to see more variants, that unfortunately they're going to come back in the northern hemisphere next season. And because of waning immunity, as has been shown by now several academic labs like Professor Davenport in Australia, predicts that in a year's time, 9 months, a year's time after first dosing, you might have 20-30% efficacy.
Yeah, only 25-30% efficacy. So then we're going to have to give you a second, third, and a fourth shot, and the profits will keep rolling. And how much are the profits? Well, if you are just tuning in, Moderna made $1.7 billion in sales in the first quarter of their fiscal year, and Pfizer, $3.5 billion. And this is just all found money for them because they didn't know they were going to be getting into the coronavirus vaccine biz a couple of years ago because there was no coronavirus that needed to be, that we needed to be vaccinated against. And so they're taking these numbers to tell you that your children must get vaccinated. And on it goes. So we talked about how many of the kids are in for anxiety issues. We've talked about how they've exaggerated wildly a study that is statistically irrelevant to people. But let's go on. Let's talk about in our state, Jay Inslee, because he rolled out on Thursday of last week all these things they're going to do to get the kids vaccinated. Going to give out an Xbox and college tuition and all kinds of topsoil. Nothing will get a kid excited about a vaccination like topsoil. But Jay Inslee, in a real bit of genius on his part, and Jay Inslee is nothing if not a genius, but when he rolled this out.
Topsoil.
Yeah. Then I knew that, well, we'll get everybody vaccinated with that little ruse. So, you're being played. I'm here to counterbalance everybody else in the media, apparently, because I think it is shameful that they didn't tell you how statistically irrelevant this study is that led every newscast, that led the morning news shows. It is a statistically irrelevant, cherry-picked date bit of information to try to get you so scared that you'll get your kid vaccinated. If you get your kid vaccinated for all the good and right reasons that make sense to you, fantastic. But when I started out with this radio show, day one, I said, above all else, it's my job to be a watchdog of government. And when I listen to all these newscasts, locally and nationally, and we've got to get everybody vaccinated. I hear reporters and anchors saying, we have to get everybody vaccinated. We're on a mission here. When did you become just nothing but cheerleaders for pharmaceutical companies so that they can increase the billions and billions and billions of dollars that they're getting? Here's Moderna on CNBC. They're talking about their profits and what is a trial. Understand, not FDA approved, the vaccine for children. And they talked about their profits and the teen trial.
Their COVID vaccine in the first quarter brought in $1.7 billion in revenue. They are now saying they expect $19.2 billion in 2021 based on contracts they've signed.
Now, are you getting this? $1.7 billion in the first quarter, and that's going to explode 10x. To over $19 billion in revenues. And the only way that they can sustain that sort of growth is with your children on board. And you know what happens to the stock price? If you can have 10x growth for a couple of years, well then, pharmaceuticals, instead of being just kind of stodgy, but they're, you know, they're very reliable companies on Wall Street. But if you have a pharmaceutical company that is also viewed as an Amazon-like growth stock because there are so many children yet to be vaccinated, again, what a sick, unholy alliance, and how irresponsible for all of the breathless reporters to not talk about some of the realities of this.
Their COVID vaccine in the first quarter brought in $1.7 billion in revenue. They are now saying they expect $19.2 billion in 2021 based on contracts they've signed. Now, for some of the vaccine news we're getting this morning, the first look at data in teens for their COVID vaccine, kids ages 12 to 17, they are saying they've seen vaccine efficacy of 96% in that group in a trial of about 3,000 teenagers they ran. They saw about 12 cases. So these are pretty small numbers, but 96% efficacy.
They've seen 12 cases? Does that have any statistical validity at all? 96% efficacy, they're telling us, but they've only seen 12 cases. Uh-huh. Well, that's rock solid. That's as scientific as science can get. And then what's the upshot of all of this? Well, you still have all these people who are walking around vaccinated, but they're still, and this is the sum total of what's happened over the last year, where you're afraid to not wear a mask, not because of health reasons, but you're afraid of what other people will think of you. Or you want to send a signal of how virtuous you are. Listen to this montage of people on the street being asked, you're vaccinated, why are you also wearing a mask outside? This is unbelievable to me.
Why are you wearing a mask outside?
It feels weird not to.
I just like it. I got used to it. I don't mind wearing it.
I guess I'm just used to it, I guess.
I just have it on. I forgot it was on.
You forgot it was on? Are you vaccinated? Why are you wearing a mask outside? What's your thought process?
The guy's thinking.
No comment.
After all that thinking, after all that brain power, what's your thought process? Why are you wearing a mask if you're vaccinated? No comment. He has no reason. Just doing it.
I just want to wear it.
Yeah, I guess like my friends wear them, so I'm like, I might as well just too.
I feel like I won't take off my mask until everybody does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We had your pressure.
Role modeling, right?
I mean, there's a lot of anxieties with taking the mask off, you know, for the first time. So
it's been so long.
Yeah, it's like a social anxiety at this point.
What? It's a social anxiety to take your mask off now. I'm not wearing a mask anymore. I had to yesterday because I was in a hospital. But other than that, I'm not wearing a mask anymore. I don't have any social anxiety. I feel free. I had social anxiety when I had to wear a mask. What is wrong with people?
It's just, you know, mental well-being and stuff.
So it's virtually impossible to get coronavirus outside while you're vaccinated.
Okay.
Does that change your thought process at all?
Yeah, not really. I'm just going to keep wearing it. I personally still wouldn't want to take the risk anyway. I don't trust anyone else. So I'm just doing it for my...
Even if the science said it was, like, basically impossible, it still doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Extra precaution.
Because I want to protect others, and there's still risk no matter what, so...
Why do you want to protect others? If you're vaccinated, you've already done that. If they're afraid you're not vaccinated, then it's up to them to protect themselves. You know, a lot of people said, Dory, the reason we're getting our children vaccinated is so they don't get it and give it to their grandparents. Well, grandma and grandpa should get vaccinated then. But we shouldn't make our children walk around getting in. I mean, if your reasoning is that, then you're putting a non-FDA approved trial vaccine into the arms of children to protect grandma and grandpa. Grandma and grandpa should protect themselves. And you shouldn't have all this anxiety and contribute to the sky-high suicide rate and all the other stuff that we're doing to our kids. This is one of the most revealing montages we've ever played, why people are still wearing a mask after they get the vaccine. We have been trained well.
So the science says it's virtually impossible to get the coronavirus or vaccinated or spread it while you're outside.
Sure.
Does that change your thought at all?
I know that, but it also sets an example, a visual example. That's how I feel sometimes. I just want to put it on.
Because you almost feel like that, like almost a compulsion to do it because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the right thing to say. It's like a pacifier.
It's very interesting.
The kid has his pacifier.
Sure.
You want to take it away and he's surprised. Don't take it.
It's your binky. Your mask is your binky.
Take it away.
Oh, like a vulture signal.
Yeah.
Because.
It's also a little bit of a protest, in a way.
The protest being like, being...
Well, I shouldn't be...
I'm protesting against common sense. I hate common sense. I hate common sense. Yeah, that's an effective protest.
Given the privilege to not wear a mask.
Not only have I been doubled.
Okay, wait. Did you hear that? That's the capper right there. This is why this guy is still wearing a mask. I've isolated it.
Well, I shouldn't be given the privilege to not wear a mask.
I shouldn't be given the privilege of not wearing a mask. We're finished, man, as a nation. Is this the mentality? I'm sorry. This guy isn't necessarily stupid, but that is one of the stupidest statements I've ever heard from another human being.
Well, I shouldn't be given the privilege to not wear a mask.
We're finished. We're finished at this rate. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
It's also an hour and a half exclusive special report. Thanks for bearing with me. But as I said, I think this is one of the most important topics that we've had in a long, long time because it reveals so much about big business, about the media, about the sheep-like qualities that too many people are embracing these days. It's really sad and scary, too. Okay, we need to change things up. Check the news, and then Dave Wyman will drop by for his weekly visit. That is coming up here on the Dory Monson Show.
Meatloaf? No.
Dave, I know you're hungry, but no.
Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin.
That's an awfully high-pitched voice for Meatloaf.
It sure is. What are you thinking there?
I don't know.
You thought that it was the gal from Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Yeah. That's you go.
Thought,
it does
right?
kind of sound like her.
Yeah.
Was that Janis Joplin who sang that part?
No, it wasn't, okay. As a matter of fact. And who was the famous baseball play-by-play man who inserted some play-by-play in Paradise by the Dashboard Light?
I have no idea.
The Scooter, Phil Rizzuto.
Oh, yeah.
Longtime New York Yankee player and then broadcaster. How about that?
If you would have told me that he was a keychain in Seinfeld
right.
that got covered up by asphalt...
Holy cow!
Holy cow. I would have gotten that right away.
Oh, man. How are you?
You're on fire today, man.
I'm pretty fired up, yeah. I told you last night that I was fired up about a topic as I've ever been. And
yeah.
I hope I didn't bore people with my passion.
You know, everybody's like saying, you know, there's no science. Science has come under attack. Like, science is a very weird word now, all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Nobody's using science. Well, one science is statistics. I read a book called Damned Lies and Statistics. Yes. I think everybody should read it. It's really interesting if you look at numbers. And, you know, you were talking about the cherry-picking thing of going back. We do that all the time with the Seahawks. I mean, how many times you go through those notes, pregame notes? It's like in the last 27 and a half games, Russell Wilson has thrown, you know, this and that. I mean, so we used to call that in the financial business torturing the numbers. So, you can make something look really good or really bad just by manipulating, you know, when you pick the dates. And then, you know, when you say, well, it spiked, you know, this. I remember during the whole like concussion settlement thing, and that you were twice as likely to get dementia and all these different things when they're doing the concussion study. But the raw number was like, it was something like, you know, 5 out of 1,000 to like 10 out of 1,000.
Right.
But yeah, you're twice as likely. That is true. Statistically, that is true. But the number is what you have to look at. So it's just very tricky. And I think a lot of people don't pay attention to that at all. And I think it's really important.
That's where I say, Dave, the media must pay attention to that. Because I get it that not everybody has the time. I have this... You know, my job is a blessing to me because I love numbers and I love digging into facts and I love finding stuff that nobody else has. And I understand that, you know, other people, they have their own jobs and they got families and they got money to make and food to put on the table and all of that. But that's why I think more than ever, it's up to us in our business. And I'm talking about news more than your side in sports. But I just think it's more important than ever that we provide some context and that we spend the time to not just take, but I mean, every story on Friday was the same. And it was essentially a press release written by the CDC to scare people. And then everybody in the media just repeats the press release. And to me, that is just as irresponsible as you can get.
Yeah. Well, if I'm not vaccinated and I'm looking at something that is being driven by hype, fear, government, big pharma,
right.
I'm not saying I'm staying away from it. I'm just saying that my radar would go up and, you know, that I would be very discerning as far as, you know, with the decision I make. But yeah, you know, it was kind of interesting. Another little statistical thing I was going to bring to your show was I read this this book called Scorecasting, and it's written, I don't know, it's probably 10 years old, but it actually talked about a vaccine and a flu, and it talked about parents, you know, would you give your kid the vaccine? So the flu itself kills 10 out of 10,000 kids. The vaccine will kill 5 out of 10,000 kids. Well, you cut your chances in half. As far as, you know, but, you know, most parents will take inaction, you know, over action because most parents felt like, oh, if I made the decision, you know, it's like one, you're letting sort of life play out. One is you'd feel so incredibly guilty for giving your, even though you would cut your kid's chance in half.
Right.
You still are taking an action. You'll take an inaction over an action. You'll let nature take its course. And so that was just it was a psychological study that was done. And, you know, most parents, you know, would not, you know, and it sounds crazy, right? You're going to cut your chances in half, but but you're taking an action, and so yeah, it's kind of interesting just the psychology around the statistics.
Well, and it's, you know, I love the book and the movie is really well done too, Moneyball.
Yeah.
Where they were just stuck in the same old ways, and then along comes Billy Bean and somebody who had a revolutionary approach and was able to succeed well beyond any reasonable expectation of success that he should have had because he was willing to think beyond, I hate the phrase outside the box, but he's willing to think in ways that nobody else was. And that's the, you know, I talk about this all the time, that whether it's investing in the stock market or betting on sports or analyzing the news, being a contrarian, not only has it worked for me, and I don't set out to be a contrarian. I don't get up every morning and say, what's everybody thinking? Because I'm going to do the opposite. It's just that my brain works in what turns out 90% of the time to be a contrarian fashion. Mm. And I'm glad of that, because I don't understand people who just want to always go with the crowd and the masses say.
Yeah. Well, you're a critical thinker. I mean, and that's the thing. I consider myself that way. It's like, I don't care if I'm right or wrong. I know I have my leanings one way or another. Mm-hmm. I just want the damn truth.
Yeah.
I want the truth. That's all. And the other thing, you know, I would say also, just to make it clear, and I said this last week when I was on, I can't imagine judging anybody for taking the vaccine or for not taking the vaccine.
Yes.
That to me is unbelievable that is going on, that people are judging either one way or the other. You know, yeah, because I have really smart friends that have, you know, and some that have not. And it's just, you know, it's your personal choice. So
exactly. And I'm really glad you said that, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm an anti-vaxxer, because clearly I'm not, since I've been vaccinated. I just encourage everybody, especially when it comes to your kids, to approach it with some reason and not just and sadly, what the pharmaceutical companies, all they want to do is make money. They don't have any purity of motive. The newscasts, they just want to get ratings. They don't have much purity of motive. And yeah. And all I'm saying is, if those are the competing influences on the other side, it's up to you as an individual, everybody who's listening as an individual, to be what you were just talking about. Be a critical thinker, be your own gatekeeper, and make sure you aren't just one of the sheep who's fed a line of bull.
Yeah.
Wait, do sheep get fed lines of bull?
I don't know about that. Sense. I know this. That was very well said, though. I think that sums it up perfectly.
All right. Let's take a quick time out on here. That perfect note.
I know this is something that I'm supposed to get. Sean's going to be mad at me.
That's what I'm not supposed to.
Some 80s
rock. Turn it up a little bit, Sean.
Is this Alice Cooper?
Diamond type song.
No, it's not Alice Cooper.
I'm not sure.
But Dave should, in theory, know this.
Okay. I don't know it.
All right, Dave. It's Skid Row.
Okay.
Where you're going to be, huh?
This is one of the... Yeah, exactly. This is one of the metal bands that I skipped back in the day.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Skid Row.
Yeah.
Wasn't the lead singer of Skid Row famous beyond his... musical, wasn't there something about the guy?
Sebastian Bach, I believe.
Sebastian Bach,
that's
yeah.
Who that is, yeah.
I knew that they had a notable lead singer, but I don't know why I know that.
Of the Bach legacy.
Yeah. Bach. All right, quick timeout. We'll continue our conversation with the always interesting Dave Wyman. You can hear every afternoon on 710 ESPN Seattle. Lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Sounds familiar. Counting Crows?
Oh, no.
Pearl Jam?
Ooh, you're getting warm.
Is it Nirvana?
Yes.
Oh, man. I'm getting pantsed today.
I was thinking your mic wasn't on, Dave. What's going on? What's going on with you?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm off. I'm off today.
All right.
I blame Sean.
A couple other things I wanted to chit-chat with you about. So the Mariners, they had this kid named Jared Kelenic. And I haven't been able to watch too many games. But a couple weeks ago, I heard that he was going to be the greatest young player since Ken Griffey Jr., and I was thinking, what an incredible amount of pressure. And then I saw a story at My Northwest, or at 710sports.com, that after three or four games, they compared his first three or four games to Mike Trout's first three or four games of his career. And I was thinking, what are we doing to this kid? Yeah. What's going on here?
Well, it's an accurate comparison, because Mike Trout also got sent down to AAA. You know, so everybody has done that. First of all, the kid has never failed before in his life. And now he's doing it on the big stage. So that's, you know, he has to go through that. I mean, there's not, I mean, we hear all these stories like Ken Griffey Jr. went for like 0 for 16 when he first came up, and, you know, Mike Trout got sent down. I mean, they just, it had to happen. It was just a matter of time. And
yeah,
they kind of have a little bit of a model because Taylor Trammell, he, I think he had 27 games. He was batting 157. So they sent him down, and then he tore it up. He went to I love this kid, Taylor Trammell, but he instantly got on a plane and went to, I guess it was Utah. They were playing in Salt Lake City, and he was batting like 600 after like six games. And then, you know, he cooled down to like 350 or something. They brought him back up, and he's doing well now. I mean, it's just the process that every guy has to go through. We've been talking to Mike Blowers, who is, I think, one of the best analysts ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, he says every guy goes through it a couple of times. He said the difference facing the pitching at the big league level is the difference is massive going from AAA to, you know, the big league. So it's not surprising at all. We're kind of, you know, before the season, we're like, okay, we're going to just cool off this year. It's going to be a, you know, maybe a 500 team. That'll be a victory. And we know that these things are going to go on. But then when they happen, everybody freaks out. And we've got people texting and saying, this guy's a bust. I'm like, you have no idea. You have no idea.
They need to chill. That's what those people need to do. Also, I read a story, a new study that was out today that says, this is according to, they geotagged, I don't really even know what that means, but they geotagged Twitter data. And they found out that LeBron James, Dave, is the most hated basketball player on the planet.
Really?
What is geotagging, Dave? Please tell me.
You're asking the wrong guy, Dory. I have
it's,
no idea.
Well, no, it's a Twitter thing. And I thought you were like a Twitter expert.
I'm not on the Twitter.
Why aren't you on the Twitter?
Because I'd probably get myself in trouble, and I just don't think anybody's really that interested in what I have to say, and I don't feel like I need to tell everybody what I think every moment of the day.
Well, Dave, take it from me. It's virtually impossible to get yourself in trouble on the Twitter. It just doesn't happen.
Virtually.
Well, virtually. I'm not saying it's never happened. I'm just saying that it's very unlikely for anybody to ever get in trouble by tweeting something.
I'll only speak for myself, and that I would probably get myself in trouble.
Okay. All right. I don't like that LeBron James, though. I do agree with the geotagging, whatever that means.
Yeah. The only thing about him is just that I just think, and it's kind of a, you know, nitpicky little thing, but he just acts like he's so enlightened, like so much smarter than everybody else. He has the answers for everything. So, oh, is this the Eartha Kitt? No.
No.
That's an actor or actress, I should. I believe. I don't know. I don't have.
This isn't it. It's not Natalie Cole, is it?
No, Dory. Sorry.
I think Natalie Cole did a remake of it.
Oh, okay, says Dave, who's gotten zero right today.
Who is it?
We've got Etta James.
Etta. I said Eartha. Eartha Kitt. That's an actress. Moron.
Okay. I got to go, Dave. You know what that does? That bums me out because it means our time is done.
Yeah. Well, it was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, except for the going 0 for 4.
I understand.
I'm like Jared Kelnick. I'm going to get sent down to AAA.
It's about time.
What's AAA radio? What would it be? Like a podcast or?
What's the name of your show again, Dave?
It's called Wyman and Bob.
It's cold. It's cold, Sean. What's the matter with you?
I deserve it. I deserve it.
I got to go.
Absolutely deserve it.
All right, you can hear Dave every afternoon on our sister station, 710 ESPN Seattle. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
And the big lead at 2 is coming up next.